the blessed life. Today, God's light, not limelight. Matthew 6, 1 through 6, 16 through 18. The words of Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Lord, I pray this morning as we continue in this series, as we continue going through your message on the Sermon on the Mount, that Lord, here you are addressing again issues that are very radically different than the world. Lord, you're wanting to show us something and teach us something here. I pray today that we teach your word accurately. That, Lord, we take to heart what you want to tell us today. Lord, we want you to be pleased in everything we do. I pray, Lord, that you will search our hearts now. That, Lord, if there's any way in us that's displeasing, I ask, Lord, that we seek your forgiveness. But, Lord, touch our hearts, touch our minds, continue to mold us into your image. Continue, Lord, please, to sanctify us. In your name we pray. Amen. So one of the interesting things as we move into today's message, one of the interesting things that we have seen in our lifetime in the arena of sports are the displays of celebration. That when you just look 15, 20 years ago, these displays of celebration that go on even after a score. How many of you watch the Colts? You know, the Colts actually gather the whole team together that's on the field for a photo shoot in the end zone after they score, even if they're losing. You know, in college, it got so bad, now you can be penalized for excessive celebration in the end zone. Flag, you're celebrating too much. But, of course, that does not stop players from busting out of the pack and running down the field. Ooh, I got me a tackle! Wait a minute. You were supposed to tackle that guy. That's your job. You're not. The game's not over. You haven't won. That poor IU guy there. I mean, they're supposed to do that anyways, right? The limelight. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. The limelight. Sports, it seems, is just reflecting society today. That the Bible says will be characterized in the end days by a love of self in unprecedented ways. We are to be what? God's light in the world, right? Not the limelight ourselves. And Jesus is addressing this. This look at me attitude in Matthew 6 that can not only go on in the arena of sports and the arena of society, but actually within the company of kingdom saints. Actually within the company of the church itself. And Jesus has already told his followers that they must have what? A righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. We've been hearing that throughout this series in Matthew 3:20. And on this issues, these Pharisees, they were the poster boys for look at me. I mean, they were the antithesis of look at me. You want to have a poster of the idea of look at me? Slap a Pharisee poster on your wall. They're the poster boys of this. Everything we have seen in the Sermon on the Mount is opposite to false religion. Self-righteousness, self-serving, this disregard for self-sacrifice. It's a life radically different than the world. And Jesus is showing his kingdom citizens that you're different than the world. You're different than false religion. We have already seen that God looks upon the heart. It's there in the heart where God holds men accountable to the sinful desire they have, as well as the outward deed. Remember, we saw anger in the soul, murder, adultery in the heart, lust in the heart, adultery, lust in the mind. We've seen poor in spirit, pure in heart, hunger and thirst after righteousness. We see this heart. So this morning, we are now moving into chapter 6. And we see in Matthew 6 that he even looks at now, not just the heart, but the motives for the things that we do. Jesus cares about your very motive for what you do. Everything we say, everything we do is backed up by a motive. No matter what you do, good or bad, right or wrong, it's backed up with motive. Why do you do the things you do? Why are you here this morning? Why did you come to Sunday school? Why did you not? Why do you come and sing? Why do you worship with the saints? What are you doing in your life and why do you do it? What is your motive? What is it that motivates you? What is it that spurs you on? What is it that you can say, this is my motive. This is what motivates me. And Jesus warns us to beware of the possibility of doing good and righteous things for the wrong reason. Namely, that reason for the approval, the praise, the recognition, and the applause of man rather than our Lord. This is a matter of great importance, is it not? For Jesus will tell us that the motives for what we do in living the Christian life will directly have an impact on the reward. The reward that we will receive or the reward that we will forfeit from our Father in heaven. You'll receive a reward or you forfeit it. So because of this reality, it is certainly to our benefit to listen carefully to Jesus Christ. Remember, he who hears my words and acts upon them. We want to hear him this morning. We want to allow him to sift us and search us. For it is your reward in heaven for eternity that's at stake. And all you do, God's going to see your motive. The very reward that God may have in store for you is at stake. So this morning I want to leave with you two takeaways from this passage. The principle we should live by. And then the reward we can count on. Claire, you see pray there. I already prayed. But you want to pray again? Lord, I do pray that we will take this seriously. Lord, ultimately, you want us to love you for you and follow you. I pray, Lord, that you'll move in our hearts this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. So the principle we should live by. In Matthew 6:1, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Look at me. Look at me. I mean, I get a kick out of some Facebook pages I see. Woo! Hey, look at me. Beware of practicing, especially not just in the world, but your righteousness before men. Jesus has in mind the Pharisees here who are a prime example of practicing righteousness with wrong motives. So Jesus picked three common areas of that day, areas that would be active, that would be public forms of worship in their culture of that day. So he picks three prominent areas in their system: giving, praying, and fasting. He's not limiting in Scripture any form of worship, any outward act. He just picks these three to deal with these three because they were prominent in the day. When the Pharisees gave to the poor, they sounded a trumpet before them. Why? So that they may be honored by men, he says. They wanted to receive the glory and the honor for themselves. You've heard the phrase, toot your own horn. I'm giving to the poor now. Come on. And they wanted man's honor. Quit blowing your own horn, we hear. In verse 5, when the Pharisees prayed, they stood in the synagogues and they also went out on the street corners to pray. This word for pray, for street, is different from the word street we see in verse 2. There is a narrow lane there, but here it refers to a broad, wide street, such as a major intersection. So they're out there for what reason? Limelight. The Talmud said the Pharisees would stand in these squares up to 3 hours in such public places to pray. Why? So that they may be seen by men, Jesus said. 3 hours out there doing this. We're starting to get the point here. Give, blow your own horn, praying in the street corners, the intersections. Look at me. In 6:16, when the Pharisees fasted, they put on gloomy faces. You knew they were fasting. What's the matter, brother? I'm fasting. Jesus says, why? So that they will be noticed by men. Here Jesus says, honored by men, seen by men, noticed by men, all in reference to their motive. They would fast in sackcloth with ashes on their faces so that they could be seen by men. So we see the pattern. Their motive was to draw attention to themselves. This look at me, look how much I give, look how well I pray, look how close I am to God, look how much I fast to separate from the world and to get closer to the Lord. Look at me. Look how spiritual I am. In 23:5, Matthew 23:5, Jesus said, they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. In John 12:43, they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. This word here, noticed, used also here in our passage, means to be seen. Y'all notice me right now? You see me? I notice you. I see you. To be noticed, to be seen. It is the word from which we get an English word here. This word here, though, this word, the way it's translated, is where we get the English word theater, which means to view or see, to watch. As we go to watch a play or see a movie, we get this word theater. Therefore, it's an act. It's theater. It's fake. And Jesus in Matthew 6:2 and Matthew 6:5, he has a name for it. He calls these Pharisees hypocrites. This word hypocrite, this word came straight out of the theaters of that day when an actor would put on a mask to play a role. He was playing something other than who he is. In other words, the righteousness was just spiritual theatrics. They were acting. Spiritual theatrics. They were actors playing the role of being spiritual. And like all actors, they were seeking the applause of the audience. They were playing to man. They were playing to men. And Jesus warns his followers to beware, to be on guard against this. How many of you know it's a real danger, even for true believers, to limelight yourself? How many of you know that every one of you possess in your heart a limelight? You can flick that thing on. Do you agree? The temptation. If it wasn't a real danger for believers, if it were not that big a deal, Jesus would not have said, beware. Beware. See, down deep in every heart, there's the potential to want the limelight. Down deep in every heart, there's the potential to want the applause and praise of men. The desire to have the approval of others. To be liked. To be well thought of. To be something. To be somebody in the eyes of our fellow man. Is that not the case? Especially in our culture today. Especially in a culture that promotes self, promotes our own individual desires. Especially in a culture today that grades success based on social standards. There is, however, a biblical desire for this that we will see in a moment. But if this desire is not carefully watched, our service and our labor for the Lord, this practical righteousness we have in living out before others, can become tainted, can become very flawed. And at times, if we're not careful, it can be motivated by a concern for the applause and the approval of man, than our Heavenly Father. And Jesus says, beware of this. I mean, for sure, it may not be as crass as the Pharisees, but it can be seen maybe in our lives in more subtle ways, even by those who desperately and truly love the Lord, right? Martin Luther said, if we cease our charitable deeds because men are ungrateful, that shows we are not aiming to please and honor God. Think about that for a moment. If a pastor or a teacher puts in less preparation because they know only a few are going to be in the audience, whose approval are they seeking? Or if we are unappreciated by others, and when that unappreciation happens, we start slacking off, whose approval are we actually seeking? You see, there are litmus tests throughout our spiritual life that can bring us and point us to truth of heart. Or if we are involved in ministry, and we don't receive the results we want, and we quit, whose approval are we seeking? But when our hearts show God's light and not the limelight, our motives will be pure. There are many times we encourage one another by verbal and open testimony. There's many times we appreciate the service of others and recognize that before men. We share what God is doing in our devotions and the impact that that is having in our lives. What is he doing in my life? How is that impacting others? We share that. We have open displays and acts of worship. We have singing and praising. We openly and publicly pray to him. We serve openly and we serve publicly. There are times we do share that we might edify, that we might teach, that we might bring glory to God and encourage others. Remember Paul, what did he do? He reluctantly shared his sufferings for the Lord to defend the gospel. Otherwise, we would never have known what it had cost Paul. 2 Corinthians 11:16-19 or 12:1. What it boils down to is this. Motive is the issue. Why we do what we do is as important as what we do. In fact, if the why you do is not correct, then the what you do will have no eternal value in reward. You with me on that? So now please, let me just pause for a moment, and I want to have a request for you, because I love worshiping with you, and I love how we get together and all of our ministries and serve with one another. So please, after this sermon, don't start throwing out disclaimers every time you talk. I believe your heart. That's of the Lord. Let's not come together in grace. Before I pray, I just want you to know it's sincere. No, we don't need to do that. Let's just be sincere. Okay? No disclaimers. I will believe that of you as a brother in Christ. So here's the principle of true followers of Jesus. Here's the principle we should live by. We are to live first and foremost for the approval of God, not man, and for the promotion of His glory, not ours. There's your principle. On the stage of life, we are to practice our righteousness before an audience of one. Who is that one? God. Jesus, our Lord, God, and Savior. And the spotlight is not to be the limelight, it's to be the spotlight on Him. On Him in your life. This does not mean that we don't care about the approval of men. We see in God's Word we're to care very much about that in a spiritual context. We should care if we care about our testimony. If we are to be the salt of the earth, you must care about your testimony before men. If we are to be the lights in the world, the lights of Jesus Christ, we must care about our testimony for men. But the approval and the praise of men should only be sought to influence and impact others for Jesus Christ and His glory. That should be the motive. You with me? So the principle we should live by. How about the reward we can count on? 7 times here, Jesus speaks about rewards. Verse 1, verse 2, 4, 5, 6, 16, and 18 in this section. But rewards of very different quality. One thing's for sure, God's light or limelight, either way, you will be rewarded. There is a reward, whether negative or positive, for everything we do. So first, the reward you can receive from men. So we need to understand, when you publicize your piety, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, when you practice your righteousness with the motive, here's the word, with the motive to be honored, to be seen, and to be thought well of by man, and men give you what you seek. They honor you. And they think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then when they discovered butter, they even add butter on it. You are the bread and butter. And you get what you want. That is your reward. Jesus says in 6:2, 5 and 16, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. In Matthew 6:1, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. There it is. You received your reward now. No reward to come. You have it in full. Right here, Jesus says, you got what you were looking for. There is no more reward coming. It is the temporal applause of man and not the eternal applause of God. It is the temporal reward of man and not the eternal reward of God. That temporal reward will die with you. It will die with them if it even lasts that long. It may fade away by tomorrow. It has no lasting power. You know, I'm convinced when Jesus talks about rewards this much, we won't know until heaven the magnitude of the loss of reward. But we do know it will be a loss for eternity. Of course, Jesus is not saying that if people praise you or think well of you or honor you, that you're going to lose your reward in heaven, is he? A few of us went to Dr. Wickham's memorial service. Was that man honored, Eldon? He was honored so much I was taking notes. Was he honored, Pastor Paul? Pastor Tom? Yeah. Dr. Wickham was honored for all he did for the Lord, but to the glory of God who accomplished all those accolades. He didn't trump God. It was God glorified, showing what God's grace and mercy can do through a humble, obedient, submissive man. He is addressing those whose motive is to seek that honor for themselves. So second, the reward from your Father in heaven. We live in this world that's so around us with love of self. If we could just get an eternal focus and look through the keyhole and see the key, that our reward is eternal, that we want to have an eternal perspective as we live on this other side of eternity, as we live on this other side of heaven. It comes with a true life and a perspective of eternity. Jesus says, in contrast to the Pharisees who publicize their piety for the praise of men, he says, when you practice your piety in secret, God who sees in secret will reward you. How about when you give? Don't blow your own horn to draw attention to yourself. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. This is a figurative way of saying that when you give to the poor man with your right hand, do it so quietly and inconspicuously that even your left hand didn't even take notice of it. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, pray in secret in your inner room. Shut the door so no one sees you praying. And Jesus says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you fast, Jesus says, wash your face. Clean up. Don't let men know you are fasting. Be happy as if no one even knew but God. Look at her. She's like, you don't know. But I'm fasting, but you don't know. You couldn't tell the difference. And he says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Man, what is Jesus teaching? I mean, Jesus is not saying every good deed we do must be done in secret, is he? Is he saying that all our giving must be anonymous? That all praying must be private? Is he? I mean, if that were so, we'd have to cancel Wednesday prayer meetings. And the early church would have immediately been disobedient to the Lord when they gathered to pray publicly. When they gathered to pray collectively. I mean, we'd have to stop using our giving envelopes. And the worship team, they'd have to stay in the back and worship together. Don't come out here and let us see your good deeds. And in fact, carry it out to its fullest, to all displays of worship, we would have an empty church building. I mean, this would run contrary to many other scriptures, would it not? So what is Jesus saying? How do we apply these two things? Well, let's remember the context. This is Jesus, again, presenting an extreme contrast. I mean, think about it. If Jesus is teaching that all our righteous deeds are to be done in secret, so they cannot be seen before men, he would have been contradicting himself from just the previous chapter in Matthew 5:16. Moments earlier, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So now he's telling you, be secret. And before he's telling you, let your good works be seen before men. I mean, Lord, which is it? I mean, I want to be obedient to him. Don't you? He doesn't want me to be confused about what he's saying, does he? He wants us to know the difference. You see, the question is not whether our good works are seen by others, but whether they are done to be seen by others. The question here is one of motive. It's not about public versus private. It's to glorify your Father in heaven. The fundamental verse here is verse 1 of chapter 6. Practicing one's righteousness to be seen by men. Jesus takes the practice of one's righteousness from the public realm to the private. For it is one's private life that the true test of one's motives are truly revealed. It's privately where your motives are revealed. When there is a great difference between your public piety and your private piety, your motives and your heart are wrong. And he wants us to see this. The person who prays much in public, for example, but little or none in private, what does that say? It reveals that they are more interested in the approval of man and far less interested in the things of God, far less interested in their relationship with God, far less interested in the things of the kingdom. They want a reputation of being spiritual, but they're only interested in looking spiritual before men. It's far better, says Jesus, using strong contrast to deal with this radically. So radically, he deals with this problem of wanting the desire of men, the praise of men. So in a sharp contrast, he goes to any length necessary to avoid the man, to avoid that, than to go on with hypocrisy. We saw that. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your feet cause you to stumble, we see this extreme examples. And he's saying, if you are a public worshiper for the praise of men, let me take you to an extreme example of where I want you to start. He wants us to cultivate our piety where our motive is to please the Father. When our private righteousness is done only to please our Father, then our public righteousness will have the same motive. And it will be free of hypocrisy. If my private life is on fire for Jesus, if my prayer life privately is all Jesus, nothing but Jesus, His glory, His will, everything about Him. If my whole desire is to build my relationship with Jesus Christ, and privately I am seeking Him at all costs. I'm in His Word. I'm in prayer. I do things in private. I give in private to do good things towards others. And that's my heart. You'll be authentic publicly. You'll be authentic. Robertson, Nicole commented on how Matthew 5 and 6 complement one another. In Matthew 5:16, it is, show when tempted to hide. Don't be a coward. In Matthew 6, hide when tempted to show. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't you like that? You see, it's about direction. It's private to public. It's not the other way around. It's the direction. It's private to public. He is speaking here to the Jew and the Pharisee who think they are kingdom citizens by DNA, who only had a sense of public worship with no private. You see, when our public life is not reflective of our private life and our motives are wrong, it is sham. The degree of discrepancy between your private life and public worship is the degree of your hypocrisy. You feel me? Jesus is telling the true kingdom son that your walk with Him, your prayers, your giving, your fasting, your relationship with Him starts in the closet and then moves out into the streets. It starts with me one-on-one and then transforms out. Even to the point that privately, so much, even to the point that privately, your left hand doesn't know what your right hand's doing. Even privately, you give yourself no credit. Even privately, you give God all the glory. You give God everything of you. He gets all the glory privately. So when your private relationship with Jesus is strong, your motives will be right. Then what you do in public will be grounded on Him, and you will be His lights in the world, not your limelight. When your private life is all about God lighting you up, when you go out into the world, you will be His lights. You will be His ambassadors. It won't be a limelight situation. Amen? We need to start with genuineness in our private life. And God, Jesus, God says, I'll reward you. I'll reward you. Remember what John the Baptist said? He must increase. I must decrease. And our motive for all we do will clearly be stated in Matthew 5:16. Your motive will truly be to glorify your Father in heaven. When that is our motive, we have this promise from Jesus. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. What a promise. He will reward you. He's not going to not give to you. He wants your motive to be all about Him. He wants all of our love. He wants all of our praise. You see, this word reward is different than reward in verse 2 that men give to hypocritical Pharisees. This word means to give back, restore, recompense. Jesus promises that my loss of praise or honor or recognition from men, that I did not receive because your deeds were in private and your great desire was to only please the Lord and in your private life that He be magnified in your private life, your Heavenly Father will more than repay that. That is what He desires. That is what He wants in this beautiful relationship with us. No act of righteousness will ever be overlooked by God with the right motive. Praise God for that. He sees in secret those deeds of righteousness you do in secret. Those things you do for the Lord. Those things you do for souls that you do not broadcast to others or even hint at, that often go so unnoticed by men. And God says, that's okay. I notice it all. That's true motive because you love me. He sees those prayers in the night. He sees those times of self-discipline. He sees all those acts of charity that are private. He sees those hours of studying the Word or that time of preparation for ministry, whether in music or teaching or serving or in your personal devotions. Though they may go unnoticed by men, they never go unknown, unnoticed, or unappreciated by our Heavenly Father. I love that. Because if my real motive is to please Him only, that's all that matters, is it not? Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards His name and having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. He will not ever let anything go that you've done for Him. And this will transfer over into our public worship, where we will be genuine instruments in the world, where we will be genuine vessels of God to be used for His glory. So as we close today, 2-3 minutes, let's draw out a few lessons. First, I am to give all glory to my God. Is Jesus your Lord and Savior? Then He is mine as well. Therefore, He is my God. He is the only true God, but He is mine because He made me His. Is God so small or so jealous that He can't stand it if we get a little glory for ourselves? Hardly. It is not that God is so small that He can't share His glory, but it is that He is so big, that He is so glorious, He deserves it all. And I don't deserve any. It blows my mind, people who don't understand that God deserves all glory. That He is the infinite, almighty God. He is almighty I am, and I am nothing. It's He who came. He created me. He made me. I am His handiwork. I am clay in His hands, and He deserves all the glory and all the praise, for He is God alone. It is only our sin natures and that pernicious love of self that wrestles with the temptation to say, look at me, instead of look at Him. That's what God wants in our lives. The heart motive to say, look at my Lord. You see me? You see Him. Whatever I do for Him, you see Him. I'm to give all glory to my God. Second, I am an open book to my God. You did pick that point up, didn't you? That God sees in secret the things done in secret. He sees and knows every motive. Remind yourself of that every morning. I can't fool God. We all know this. Whether it's an athlete or whether it's in the business world or whatever, are known to play better. Are known to put forth more effort when the grandstands are full. Look at all the people watching. I'm telling you. How many of you ever work out? When I was in CrossFit, I know. Don't be judging. When I had to work out with 5 or 6 other guys and the instructors there pushing you, I worked out harder. You get me going over to Planet Fit where you cannot judge? I'll walk on that treadmill. Right? But when others are watching, it's a concept. I'm an open book to God. He knows my motives. We tend to live better when we know people are watching. As believers, we need to remind ourselves that we have an audience of one. We should put forth the best effort for Him and live better knowing that our Lord is watching. Third, I am to one day meet my God. Praise God. How casually Jesus speaks of our Father in heaven. How casually He speaks of the rewards to come. But we need to remember this life is passing. We're just passing through, heading to our heavenly home where we will meet our Lord and Savior one day. Let's weigh all the choices we make in this life. Weigh all the things you do in this life. Weigh them on the scales of eternity. And that you will be meeting your Lord one day. Amen? So that we might hear, what's that word we want to hear? What's that phrase we want to hear? Well, what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. As we look at the Sermon on the Mount, we're getting ready to move into the Lord's Prayer. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that. We see up to now, blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble. He's looking at your heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. He's looking at your heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. You'll see God. He's looking at your heart. And He says, we'll be a city on the hill if that's our heart motive. You'll truly be the lights in the world. And He says, for the glory of the Lord. For the glory of the Lord. So when we rise, when we shine, let's shine in our private walk. Let's shine in our private life so that we can shine in our public life. Let's not hide our light. Let's broadcast God's light. But let's make sure we click off the limelight heart. To the glory of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord. Can you all say that with me? To the glory of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you want us to be like you. You want to transform us into your image. Lord, this is ultimately, when we think about it, when we're fake before others to get a reward here on earth, Lord, how worthless. When we believers fall into that trap, how worthless. Lord, this is about loving you. And ultimately, too, about loving others. Lord, let us privately love you. Let us follow your Spirit privately. Let us have a deep yearning and desire for you privately. So that, Lord, you can use us for your glory publicly. Lord, let us not stop encouraging one another, edifying one another, thanking one another, worshiping publicly with one another, praying with one another. But Lord, when people see that, it's so that they can see you. When they see that, it's so they can glorify our Father in heaven. Lord, let us truly be your church that is used for your glory. So that mankind can come to know you like we do. So that they too can have salvation. But Lord, what an amazing opportunity for a deep abiding relationship with you. Lord, it's the true blessed life. The true blessed life. I pray, Lord, you'll move in us this way. That you will guide us this way. Challenge us this way. Encourage us. Mold us. Change us. To constantly being sanctified. Lord, please turn us into your image. In your name we pray. Amen.